What's up, guys? Welcome back to Rossi's Clubhouse. It's been a minute. I think the last time you guys were here, I had comedian Shelly K. Booker. She came in, made us laugh. Things are a little different for us now, guys. We are now streaming online, and we will be up on all major podcast platforms. So please join us tonight. With me, I have Lauren Rasson and Lorna Norris. They're screenwriters. They're sisters. They're great. We're going to talk to them. They too. Now, guys, remember, this is a Sacramento-based podcast. So I do interviews, all forms of interviews with artists, singers, screenwriters, producers, the best of the best in Sacramento that's really making a name for themselves. So these ladies, I've been waiting to get them. We've been trying to do this for months, you guys. So finally have them here. And we'll get to it, guys. We are live on Rossi Talks. We are live on Movie Lovers Unite. And we are now live on Rossi's Clubhouse. So let me show you the ladies. What's up, ladies?
Hello.
Thank you for having introduce us. Yourself again to the audience.
I'm Lauren, and I'm Lorna.
Okay.
And we're the screenwriters.
So, you know, I did a movie with Lorna. No. You guys look at Tins Nordies. Hidden in Plain Sight.
Lorna, yes.
Hidden in Plain Sight. So I met Lorna on a short film we did. I think it's like 2 years now.
It
was called Hidden in Plain Sight. She played a congresswoman. She was great. The movie was great. I enjoyed it. I played this crazy character named Sarah. She was like this social media star, but it was a really good film, and it was about the history of Sacramento. So it was a great historical film. That's where I met Lorna at. And then I got to meet her sister and I found out, oh my gosh, they're screenwriters. You guys, tell me about your show right now. Where are you guys at right now?
Take it away.
Well, our podcast takes place through Access Sacramento. We're on Mondays at 7. We're on Fridays at 2 in the afternoon. And our podcast is called Mum and Dean Screenwriters Podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a reason why it's called Mum and Dean. You came up with
our nicknames. We grew up with these nicknames, so we cut the actual nickname short to Mum and Dean, but okay. It's a little longer to the nickname.
Yeah, so we added those into the title of the podcast, and it stuck.
Yeah,
just then, let's name it that, and it's been going on for over a year now. Yes,
really.
Yes. Yeah, we've had anniversary is at the end of this month. Mm-hmm. The end of
March. How does that happen? How does one have a show with Access Sacramento?
Well, first you get in contact with...
actually introduced to Access Sacramento by a cousin.
Okay.
A family member. He actually had spent some time with a lot of the crew and staff here. And after he heard that we were also delving into screenwriting, which is what he does, he said, you guys need to go over to Access Sacramento.
Yeah.
So that's how we were introduced to them. We came down on a referral.
Okay.
And met the staff and the crew, and everyone here has just been awesome.
They're fantastic. Yeah. They helped us to get into the radio studio. They trained us on the soundboard. Nice. They helped us to learn all the buttons and the gadgets and the switches. And then they left. They threw us in deep water and they left and said, you guys got this. And you have to be ready in like 2 weeks. We're like, what? Ready? We went for it, and we've been together working on the project ever since. It's been a ball.
So what is your podcast about?
It's about screenwriting and teaching you the basics of screenwriting.
Okay.
And we have an agenda that we follow. We start out with an introduction, and then we say hello to our listeners, and then we go into two movie clips. And then we let you know what we've seen over the weekend. And then we'll play a little game towards the end with the audience, with each other for the audience.
Yeah, we gotta keep it fun.
Yeah, we make it fun. And you'll hear us giggle and
we're always giggle.
I've been laughing with them. Absolutely.
And that's intentional. Yeah. We want to make it fun and lively because we don't want to sound ho hum and dry.
Right.
We want the audience to be interested in what we're talking about. So we do offer a subject matter in the podcast, and we stick on point, and that's mostly Lorna Dean. And she's right on. Her brain is amazing. She does have credentials from
going to college, Sierra, to college courses, yeah. I took workshops, so, seminars.
So she knows what she's talking about. She knows her stuff. She's very familiar with the territory. And so we want to offer that same information and educate those that are actually interested in this and our, you know, this style of writing and screenwriting. We may make it sound easy, but but it's not. It's
torturous. It's being
it's very not torturous in that sense, but it is challenging, but it's many, many rewards as well.
Yeah.
So, okay, being sisters, how did you two decide that you wanted to be screenwriters? Like, was it just one of you, or like, how did that happen?
Yeah, so because I first took an interest in screenwriting over 18 years ago, probably going closer on to 19, 20 years ago. And I've been writing short stories since I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I migrated into writing short novels.
Wow.
And then I migrated again over into screenwriting because movies is our lives.
Oh, we've been watching movies.
You too.
Since we were this big.
Yeah.
And we love it. And so me finally getting into the idea of writing a film. It is a dream.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm hoping we can educate other interested writers, screenwriters out there, and give them the head knowledge that she and I have learned over the years, and for free. I love the part where you're not charging anyone. Just listen to our show
for free,
and get as much information out of it. That's what we're doing. We're sharing information. So what we do in the podcast is we literally break down a screenplay. What is a screenplay?
Yes.
What are the details? What are the elements to it? How do you write one from beginning to end? How do you start it? How do you finish it?
Right.
So we break it all down in each episode. And we may go off script. Of course,
a little bit.
So we go off script. Yes, we have an agenda, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're bullet pointing everything that we go by.
Right.
There's days where it's very natural and she and I get into a subject and we're in the zone. She and I are talking.
Exactly.
And we're sharing that with everyone, but we're mostly trying to get that point across to the person who's like, well, how do you write this? What does this look like on paper?
Right.
How do I write this scene? What does this character do? So we break it all down and it's a ball. We're having so much fun with that.
So tell the audience, like the people that are going to be listening, you know, what is a screenplay? What's the difference between a screenplay and a novel? Because some people, you know, may not know what that is.
Oh, I like that. Okay, that's a good good question. So a novel, what you will notice, there's certain things, elements you'll notice in a novel. In a novel, you can write full descriptions in a novel. You can write out colors and designs, and you write out emotions of your characters. You can write out your thoughts and feelings, because these are things that you can describe into pages.
Yes.
When you're looking at a film and a screenplay, you don't have those luxuries that you can write what a person is feeling, what a person is thinking, because you can't see it.
Yes.
Screenplays are visual. You have to think visually with a screenplay. So you don't have the luxuries of writing emotion unless you show emotion.
Okay.
So if a person is happy, how do you show that? You got to show it in the on paper.
Yes.
What is that person? If that person is in a room where it's loud, where it's noisy, like when you're in a bar, or if you're in a dance studio. Now you have to show the people's movements.
Yes.
You have to show people are laughing and drinking.
Yes.
So there's things that you have in a novel that you have all these pages, like Stephen King in his novels, this man can go for pages writing one description.
Oh my God.
Writing one description can take 25 pages.
Amazing.
You don't have those luxuries in a screenplay because screenplays are so quick. You only have maybe 90 pages, 90 minutes of how you can entertain your viewer in a screenplay. You don't have it like in a novel. You can write for years in a novel.
Right,
so
there's
differences between the two.
What genre? Is there a particular genre that you two write about?
In between, it can be horror, it can be Western, it can be romance,
sci-fi.
Mystery, sci-fi.
Yeah.
All of those genres apply to screenplays, just like they do with books.
Right.
You go to the store, they have genres of what it is for. So.
Do you prefer shorter films, or does it matter? Are you just a short film writer? Do you want long film length, type of screenplays? Do you write those?
We've dabbled in both. Actually, yeah, okay. We have several short scripts that we have completed, mm-hmm. and in the works of starting to create and get completed. We've completed five full feature
screenplays.
Wow. So yeah, we're very involved. So okay. We're across the board. We love them both.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything.
Go ahead.
Yeah, writing short scripts are actually because they're so short and so fast, you can write many of them.
Yes.
As opposed to a full feature, it takes a little bit longer.
Like short stories.
Oh,
like
short stories. Yeah.
Is it hard to come up with an idea like for the two of you when you're like creating? How do you two go about creating? Like, I want to, you know, write this film. Like, how do you go about creating with the two of you?
Yeah, we bounce ideas off of one another. Yeah. She'll come over to me and say, you know what? Would it be funny if we wrote a story about this? And I'll ask her questions about how she came across that idea. And then we'll just expand off it. We'll sit down. Sometimes I'll leave the room, come back. I'll say, hey, you know what? I did tell you a minute ago that was a crappy idea, but you know what? We might be able to do something with that. That might work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really good idea. So scratch what I said before. Let's run with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that happens all the time. Yeah.
When was the first time, the first professional script that you two wrote?
Yeah, we have a screenplay that's out there right now that's getting really high marks. Getting a lot of attention, has won awards.
Yes.
It's titled Wake of the Quasimodo.
Okay.
And we've gone to festivals and been selected final, semifinal, quarterfinal.
Wow.
With this it's a full feature. Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy drama. It's one of our favorites.
What's it about?
So we have these characters who, if you guys all remember the story of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, but it's not exactly that. So it's a twist.
Right.
So we changed the story and we some of the same characters that were in the storybook, we kind of migrated and transitioned over into our idea.
Yeah.
So we made the main characters of the Hunchback character. He has this family and village that he lives in, and now he's interacting with this normal humanized colony of people next door. So a lot of friction is between the two. There's a lot of bigotry and a lot of animosity between the two villages and how they all interact. So there's a lot that goes. There's a love interest and there's betrayal. there's danger and all sorts of things happen. It's a fantasy story. So A lot of really cool things happen in this story. And I think that's why it has been awarded so many times.
Yeah.
The plot that we have behind what happens with this main character and the objective and how the story, we really wanted story in our screenplay. So we focused on him and the things that are happening to him and the people he interacted with. I think that's probably why it's so successful.
You guys, just to let you know, I watched the film that Lorna sent over to me, and it was called Adaptable, and it was a short film. That film was the one that you won. Wasn't that part of the Sac Film Fest?
So, yes, that was. They played that through a place called Sacramento.
Right.
We entered that competition. As a matter of fact, it's come around full circle. They're doing it again now this year. Yes.
Right.
So we were one of the 10.
Right.
That won the short script competition. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was really fun.
We had a premiere down at the Crest Theater downtown Sacramento. Tons and tons of people showed up. And Marcus Allen even showed up.
Took a shot with us.
Took a picture with him. You're like, oh my God, Marcus Allen. Yeah, I'm like, oh, grab him. So we had a wonderful time. We had a chance to walk the red carpet.
Oh yeah.
All the other winners were there as well. And then of course you've seen all of the winning films on the big screen. So it was a magnificent evening and an experience I'll never forget.
Right. So seeing your film created from paper to screen. And it's on a big screen. It was really fun seeing that.
The idea, you want to, because I really thought the idea was just, I mean, what a great idea. You have a phone. And so a little bit about the film. So the film is You have what normal parents go through. Teenagers hit a certain point in their life and they're just not the nicest people. So there is this new app that a woman who's dealing with her daughter, who's very, you know, just a teenager, tells her about this app. And this app basically changes, as they're trying to describe in the film, the cerebral whatever happening in the brain, to where the child starts acting exactly the way that you want them to act. But it becomes a problem because they're not them. They're losing themselves. So that becomes a problem. And that's the film. Yeah. I thought it was a really good film. And I love how at the end, it comes back around to the daughter, who's now, she's like, she was totally goth, dressed totally punk rockish, whatever. Now she's like, as the guy, you know, her friend says, like, you're dressing like Martha Stewart now. And he tells her about this app that he found out about, and he did this to his dad. So roles change, right? How did you come up with that concept and bringing it to the Sacramento Film Festival? Because that was a really good one.
That was absolutely deep. We had a lot of fun with that one. It's funny, we were talking, we had the host on Live Wire here at Access Sacramento. He asked that very same question when he was interviewing Lauren and I. And he was saying, how did you guys come up with this idea of adaptable? And then I'll tell you what I told him. So I have a job, a life, a full-time job that I work outside of my writing. I have to pay my bills. Right. we're paying your bills. I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to write. I don't want to pay my bills. So I'm a driver for the job that I work at. So I'm driving down the street and I listen to talk radio. So one of the commentators are talking to the speakers about this app that parents have now. It's a real app. It's really out there where parents can control, and you probably heard of it, where parents can control the time that their children are on their phone. And monitor what they're watching and who they talk to and what shows they're in, things like that. So I said, wouldn't it be funny if this very same, if there was an app out there where parents could literally control the behaviors of their kids. And from then on, it went, explosion and everything. So I brought it to Lauren. She was sitting down on her little couch in her room and she was eating ice cream, which she always does. Anyway, that's beside the point. So I'm talking to her about this idea about an app and what it can do. Let's write about it. Let's have this teenager who's rebellious and going out against her parents, doesn't want to have anything to do with them. And the mom who's struggling wants to connect with her daughter. How can she do it? And I gave the insinuation that mom has run out of ideas.
Right.
She's completely run out of ways to connect with her daughter. And so she hears about this app and says, you know what? Let's do it. So she's at this desperate moment. And she hears it from a neighbor. The neighbor tells her how to do it because it's working for the neighbor as well. It's widespread. And the mom just didn't hear about it. She was one of those parents who were out of the loop. So the mom went for it. And without giving, spoiler alert. It works. And so, I had fun writing this. There were a couple of points where I was like, you know what? I could write about my kids and some things in here where the behaviors of this actress in my film can actually be something that might have happened to me. So there might be one or two things in there
that really
happened to me. So it just made it more real and it made it more fun all at the same time.
No, it was absolutely fun. It was really good. Okay, for this film, where can people watch this film if they want to check out this short film?
So Adaptable right now, we have it privately. It's supposed to be available on YouTube in the next month or so, where it could be open to the public and people can watch it at their leisure, of course.
Okay.
It's on its way out. It's on its way.
Okay. We'll definitely share, you guys. When we get that information, we'll definitely share. It's really good. So you guys were laughing about, movies, what's on TV, YouTube being screenwriters. The fact that they want to change what we watch on TV so that we don't have to watch 18,000 versions of Law and Order I know you guys like your Law and Orders. I know you like your Chicago Fire.
You're right.
But yes. What ideas do you two want to bring to TV? Because you, do you eventually want to do TV? Do you eventually want to?
Yes.
Obviously, you want it. You're screenwriters.
Yes. Yes.
How would you change the premise of what we have going on right now on TV? Because we need something.
Yep. Oh, girl, we're struggling.
We really need something.
Yeah.
Struggling. So they're one of the reasons I'm assuming why we have so many NYPDs and why we have so many Chicago's
CSIs.
And why we have so many CSIs. It's because they're thinking, I can add one little thing more differently than this other show. And that's what makes us so brilliantly different. Is that true?
No.
It's still the same doctors. It's still the same lawyers. It's still the same police officers. And you're still in these relationships and in and out of these relationships.
Drama.
And there's drama, 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 drama.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to go out on a branch. We need something familiar out there.
Yes.
We need something that's not hardwired into us any longer. We need something completely and totally different so that now we're using our brains and we're being entertained. We're not being entertained brainlessly.
Right.
So let's have fun with what we're watching and let's enjoy what we're watching without repeat.
Exactly.
Right.
And we can walk out of the room and go and come back and switch the channel. Or another episode of something else came on, we think you're still watching the same show. That's how
that's how
they're all
it's
looking
so
the same.
Right.
So yeah.
Right.
So with writing for TV, I think it'd be fun because with TV, now you can, even though it's a more limited time, you have a limited time with short story, with short scripts.
Right.
But you can do an hour show or a half hour show.
Mm-hmm.
And we have come up with some ideas and I can't share them right now.
No,
we can't. They're not protected right now.
Right.
But we do have some ideas that we want to introduce as a TV pilot in the very near future. We're going to start introducing some ideas to TV.
And it's another CSI.
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, please. Yes. Please. We're so thrilled. Please, another CSI.
No, just kidding.
No, kidding.
We would like to sway more towards family-oriented comedy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be good. Do you guys remember the days back of TGIF? Remember that when you could you remember TGIF and it was for families and you can sit and watch a whole night of them? They don't have that anymore.
No, and you have to monitor what your kids are watching.
Oh my gosh,
sneak in there. Mm-hmm. And we want it to be family-based. Why not? Why not make entertainment for the, and why does that sound like it's a crime now?
Right.
So for it. To make a family TV show for where everyone can watch it and enjoy it. Why is that so unusual?
Exactly.
We have come up with some ideas.
Absolutely.
We are working on it right now. In the very near future, we may be sharing one or two of those ideas with the public, and who knows where it goes. It depends on who picks it up first.
With the film festivals coming around again, do you have another script that's going to be in this year's A Place Called Sac?
No, not this year.
Not this year. Not likely. We were tempted after last year, and we're like, wow, that was so fun that they actually pulled our script and said, let's use it.
Right.
I wasn't actually expecting them to pick it up. No, honestly, I didn't see that coming.
We're like, what?
I was like, really? That was a perfect one for a Place Called Sac. And the fact that you were able to relay all of that in 10 minutes. I think the movie was 10 minutes and 1 second, you know, or whatever. But it was, because I watched it again this morning and I had sent it over to my producer director for him to watch yesterday.
Yeah.
So
okay.
He was like, oh my gosh, like, wow, you didn't tell me that they had this film. I'm like, yeah, I'm sharing it with you. He's like, it's really good. Great, great idea. So you packed that in a short period of time and was able to do a complete story. Was there a certain movie growing up or whatever it was that made you both say, I want to be in the film industry?
Oh, good question.
Oh. Wow, we have all
Star Wars was mine.
We're big on Star Trek,
sci-fi.
We're huge on sci-fi.
Yes,
and growing up with Star Wars, Star Trek,
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh yeah, girl, you remember Battlestar Galactica?
Yes.
Boomer.
Yeah,
I was a big fan of Boomer.
Yeah,
I was a huge fan of Boomer.
You know, I have boys and my husband, and they all love Star Wars, all of that. They had to. I think I watched one or two, but I never made it completely through, right? Complete Star Wars, right, until like the newer ones where Disney start making them, which were good.
Yes.
But I love films, I love movies, and I love sci-fi movies, more towards your alien conspiracy type of films. I love those type of films. Do you guys, I know that you guys already have a film that's kind of like sci-fi. What about love stories? Like, do you write love stories? Is there, you know, like a good, like, Love Jones, something you can bring back, you know?
I had an idea, and Rossi, okay, you can get on the girl's face. Get on her. I told her a really cute romance story, an idea that I had.
And I was like, no.
She shot me down so fast. She goes, we don't write romance stories. I was like, no, we can do this. Will work. It'll be so cute.
No.
Rossi, I have this. She's saying no. She's saying, we don't do that. That's not what we do. We write other peculiar, and it's not peculiar. It's just this really cute, romantic chick flick.
It will work.
She said, no, we don't do that.
She's really stretching her imagination when she came up with the romance. And it's
it makes sense to me.
It may, of course it does. she's really mushy and a true romantic. So it would be genuine to write a short romance. It would definitely be on the border of a Hallmark film. And so
I'm going to work on her. I'm going to work on her, and I'm going to knead into her. I'm going to knead it into her. Like bread.
What do you guys think about, like, I'll say this. I love Hulu and I love Netflix, and especially Hulu, because I love the short films or some of the films that they have made for Netflix or Hulu, which is totally different than what you get on regular TV. So I tend to watch, and I find a lot of movies that I review on the other channels on Hulu or on Netflix. What do you guys think about that? What do you think about working with Hulu or Netflix and like having a series, you know, going that way instead of just on your regular,
if they pick us up, we would say, heck yeah, we have so many ideas, we have so many ideas laid out on the table, let them kind of pick and choose, and this is just us compiling ideas, and in the very near future, we do plan to reach out to them, because there's a way that you have to, sometimes you have to have representation go before you. And right now we don't have representation. Hey, if you guys want to represent us, hey, call us, please, email us. we need a representative.
The link to all of their stuff, if you want to get in touch with Lorna and Lauren.
We'll let you represent us for free. There you go.
Because I think that the way that you two write, and just talking to you, you seem more like you'd be writers for a Netflix or a Hulu, because I feel like you have more of a creative freedom to do what you want. And they have such stories, you know, on Netflix or Hulu instead of just your regular, you know, TGIF. You can start something like that on a Netflix or Hulu. You know what I mean? Series for kids that are really good that they can watch. And I see you two, you know, doing that. In 5 years, where do you want to be?
Oh, good question.
So in the short film industry, I like how they have A24. I don't know if you're familiar with their films.
Oh, I know A24, yes. Yes.
And they have a lot of films out there. I really appreciate the unique nature of them.
Yes.
And independent films, I think, are probably I've seen some of the best films come out of independent films than I've seen on the big screen that are underappreciated.
Yes.
And people aren't noticing, and they probably are more than I realize. But from where I'm sitting, they're not getting the recognition that they should. And right. they're not getting the accolades that they should for their hard work. The independent films are doing so well right now.
Yes.
And it's kind of an embarrassment to the what Hollywood is doing with their full feature films and putting these big blockbusters that aren't going anywhere. They're sinking yes. into the ground. And so in 5 years, I would love it if Sissy and I will have the opportunity to be able to reach either into the independent film industry and definitely into Hollywood and tell them, look, throw that out, please.
Yes.
That right there.
Make an impact.
Get that out of here. Get that out right. of here. Yeah. Do something with it.
An influence of some sort to where right. we can change the minds of how the things are run now or organized.
Their committee board.
Yeah.
They need to change that committee board up because what they're putting on the screen, you know, it's okay. I got to throw one out there, Rossi.
Okay.
Cocaine Bear did not do it for me.
Which one?
Cocaine Bear.
Oh, gosh.
That movie was awful.
Yeah, I watched it.
A lot of people might be disagreeing with me, and I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with them.
They don't get you on this one. I'm telling you.
Email me. mom@mail.com.
She's putting us out there like that.
People were crazy over that film. People love Cocaine Bear, and I watched I didn't finish it, and it's okay. But it's just okay. I heard so much about it. Oh my God, you got to see Cocaine. You got to see it. It's a true story.
Oh my God.
A true story.
I guess it's
parts of a true story. Cause you know,
events. I mean, of course they're going to exaggerate it.
Absolutely.
To make it into a film that's entertaining. It was ridiculous. And that's what I mean. When you're writing a film and you're making a film and you're presenting it to people who aren't using their brain, you just want to sit there for an hour and 20 minutes or an hour and 35 minutes and watch something that's just kind of thrown at you.
Right.
People are kind of vomiting out their ridiculousness.
Right.
And I don't know if that's a word or not. I don't care. But for them to just vomit out whatever and put it on the big screen, you spend millions of dollars. It's so costly to make a movie, and it's so different from what they do in movies today than movies what they did 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's a whole different nature now to how they make movies. It's like they're just spewing. And I don't want to write a movie like that. I don't want to write a movie where it's just going to be spewed at my viewers. I want them to think. I want to reach them here. I want to reach them here. I want to make something that matters and has a point to it, or has an objective to it, or has a
it's
meaning.
Really good.
Has a meaning.
Exactly.
So let's watch movies like that, people. Let's try that. Get Cocaine Bear out of there. Look, bing, bing. Get Cocaine Bear.
You said that. That's great. That's exactly how I feel. I think a lot of people feel that way. And also, you know, for me, seeing a lot of the old actors that I watched, you know, back in the day, you know how in Hollywood you age out. And what I also appreciate about Netflix and Hulu is you see your favorite, you know, actors that you saw in the '80s that they're no longer hired. They still act. It's just that Hollywood does things differently. They age you out to where you can't work anymore. And that's what I appreciate about independent films, about your Netflix and about your Hulu, that they bring those great actors back. And I was kind of shocked when I saw an actor that I grew up watching in a wonderful independent film on Netflix. And I couldn't believe it. Then I saw another one. I'm like, oh my gosh, about time they bring them back. And that's another thing I appreciate about the whole independent film is I've seen some that should, like you said, should have so many awards. They should have Oscars. They don't even get mentioned because
they're not
on the big screen. And, you know, I also watch upcoming trailers, you know, upcoming movie trailers that are coming out next year. I saw some the other day and I was talking to my husband and I'm like, they just made that just to make it. There was no reason for it. Why would you make something like that? And just, they're running out of ideas, basically.
That's exactly it.
They're running out of ideas. That's basically what I'm saying.
And Rossi, I'm hoping your viewers and your listening and your listening audience are hearing this and grasping this. They are throwing stuff at you because they are running out of ideas. And they're repeating movies that were played years ago in our time. They're revising them. And when they revise it, they mess it up. They take the story that was and say, let's put our own little twist on this. And they screw it over. That's so sad.
Just got roasted online, and it's okay. It's okay because we did a show about a week or so ago, and we were talking about certain. It was a Variety had some articles in it about Disney selling, having Sony take care of their DVDs and that property, and then there was another story about Roadhouse, and it was about them remaking Roadhouse. And I happen to say,
here we go, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, I happen to say, in the clip that was cut out, I was saying like, who asked for it? Who asked for another Roadhouse? And oh my gosh, people were pissed. They were livid. Well, who asked for any movies? That's what they said. Who asked for any movies?
Yeah.
And I get that. I get who asked for any movies, but my point was is that it's going back to the remake and the remake and a remake. And someone brought up a good idea.
They're remaking it.
I'm sure there's a base for it. I know that before you guys tell me that and hit me up in Gmail, I know there's a base for it. I know. I'm just saying it's a lot of stuff is being remade. Stuff that I grew up with are being remade. And some of them are just questionable. But I understand that there's
an audience for
some people.
Yes, they are. And it's for an audience of I know they have this thing now. They're going around calling people, young people, millennials.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
So millennials aren't quite aware of the movies that we saw in our time. Right. So these movies are new to them. So they're seeing a remake of something that we grew up with. We saw the originals. So I grew up with Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes.
With the younger Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
I grew up with the younger John Williams.
Right.
So I grew up with the John Carpenters.
Right.
So I'm growing up in a time period where a good horror film, sometimes it didn't have to necessarily go into gore.
Violent
because you can be violent. Vulgar because you can be vulgar.
Yes.
Anybody can do that. So be creative, be unique, be different, and put something together. You want to put fear in somebody? It doesn't have to be all this blood and violence and gore.
Right.
Be creative with it. Have you ever had a bad dream? Okay, so your bad dream, pull from your bad dream. I have so many bad dreams. I have this book at home that I put my notes into. Of my bad dreams. It's this thick.
Wow.
With me writing notes on my dreams.
Wow.
Why can't people just pull an idea out of a dream and it could be a bad dream and it could be a very, that's your story. That's a unique, frightening, terrifying story you can put on film and share it with us. And it didn't come from the books of the most bloodiest people you can think of today.
Right.
Hand it over to them, and they're just going to tear it apart and make another Saw out of it. If I see one more movie,
let me tell you now.
She's going to get in trouble.
Yes, I am.
She's going to get in trouble.
I'm sorry. Girl, yeah. I apologize.
Hey.
If I see one more Saw movie, and if I see one more Michael Myers movie, I'm going to hurt somebody.
No, I will say this. I love Saw. I'm a horror fan. I love Saw. I just saw the Saw 6, and I really thought, oh my God, there's no way they're going to be able to have new traps, because in Saw, you love the traps. Love it. It was really good, but there was a really good horror film. You're talking about, it doesn't have to be bloody. It doesn't have to be anything. Have you guys seen Smile?
No.
Oh, I do remember seeing. I watched the trailer of it and I paused.
Let me tell you. You would appreciate it. You would appreciate it because it's exactly what you're saying. Take something from a dream or whatnot. But this whole movie is all over. The terror part of the movie is the smile.
Yes, yes.
It is the
yes.
smile, and it is creepy. It is absolutely so creepy and so good and so different.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. We can appreciate that. We needed some, something like that because it was different. I was like, smile when I saw the trailer.
She and I, we watched movies like the Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds. Have you seen The Birds?
Oh gosh, that's one of the best films ever. That was scary.
Okay, and then Psycho.
That was weird scary. Weird scary.
Yes.
So that's where I'm at. That's where, okay. I mean, yeah, it takes a little more thought. It takes a little more putting together and you unsettle people. When you unsettle a person, you can frighten a person. You can scare them. But when you unsettle them and disturb them, that's it. Poltergeist. I grew up with Poltergeist.
Right.
And so they did have
Right.
It didn't have a gory moment there. But I like the story.
Yes.
Yeah. When you can bring these together and have to really look at how movies are put together and the characters, you follow the characters and you feel for the characters. That's when Open Water was one of my most favorite.
Oh my gosh.
Horrifying, excellent movie. Yeah.
And that's Andy.
Yeah. And so Rossi, okay, that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
that's what Hollywood needs to do more of. And that was an independent film.
Yeah.
And put this on the screen, please.
Yeah, exactly. Big screen. Because a lot of the movies already are coming straight to HBO, or they'll be released at the theater and you can get it on Prime, or you can get it at the theater that same day and they'll have a special deal with HBO where you can watch it. So it's not like it used to be. And like, you know, I love the old Hollywood days. You know, I love when celebrities were celebrities, when you didn't have access to a celebrity like you have now, when they used to really be celebrities and you just, you know, drooled over them because of what they did, the talents they had. So I came, you know, the Nosferatu, the original one back in the 30s. Like, how creepy was that? You know what I mean? That was absolutely creepy. Yes. So I love those films. And just like Birds, you know, that one, the fact of it's Birds. There's nothing gory. There's nothing. I mean, it's an old film, but I remember it used to freak me out. And I've seen it so many times, I can't even count. Loved it. Birds 2 was all right. Wasn't as good as Birds 1, but it was still good. So where you're coming from. But sometimes I want to watch Hellraiser and I want to see some blood and gore. Those are really good films.
Yeah, we have our moments when we go off the wagon. We're like, okay, I'll watch that over there. I'll check that out.
The first three Hellraisers were the best, but the first one and the second one.
I agree.
It was amazing. Listen, I'm a movie buff. I can talk movies with you guys all day. And you two will have to come and join me on Rossi Talks, and we'll choose a film, and you have to come and join me.
Yeah, let's do it. That'll be fun.
Anyways, guys, listen, this is Lorna Norris. We have Lauren Rosso, right? Lauren Rosson?
Yes.
Okay, Lauren Rosson. They're screenwriters. They're here in Sacramento. And like I told you guys, on Rossi's Clubhouse, I bring you the best out of Sacramento, those up and coming artists that are doing their things here and really making a name for themselves. And Lauren and Lauren are definitely doing that. I mean, they won more awards that they haven't even told us about. And they do have a lot coming up. And you will see them. You will see their films on Netflix, on Vimeo. I promise you, that's going to happen. Why don't you ladies tell us what's coming up? Anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
So before we get too far off of the subject, reach out to us in our email, mumanddean@mail.com. Don't forget to listen to our podcast Mondays at 7 and Fridays at 2 right here at Access Sacramento, KUBU 96.5. So that's where you guys can listen to us. Right now, we're still writing more full feet. We're working on full feature screenplays. Yes. We have three that we're polishing. We're going to post them on Coverfly, Film Freeway. And that way, you guys have full access to reading the screenplays. We're still looking for a representative, someone who can pick us up.
That'd be awesome.
And go before us to the industry. Speak that lingo that we don't. We're writers. We don't speak that lingo. So we know there's somebody out there who can come and represent us. Look at our work. Find out for yourself.
That would be
come
awesome.
And read our work and see we're real. We're for real with our writing. And we're sharing that same knowledge with our open audience so they can learn it. So we're paying it forward. We're paying it forward so that other writers in Sacramento, I love that it's local.
Yes.
So that we can have other writers come up out of Sacramento, because we know there's people out there who also want to be heard as screenwriters. They're not being heard because people want to look at the actors. They're always talking to the actors. People want to look at filmmakers. Hey, don't get me wrong. I appreciate filmmakers. Right. People want to talk to directors and crew members, but who does it? The screenwriters. Right. You won't have a movie to watch, to fall in love with, if there wasn't a screenwriter who wrote it for you. Right. That's mommy and I. That's me. So yeah, listen to our podcast so you guys can learn too.
Absolutely. And you guys, so what's coming up on this upcoming Wednesday, I will be going live with Kristen Duff. She's the actress that did a movie with Eric Roberts, and she's just doing so much, guys. So she's going to come with me, come and sit with me at 4:30 Eastern time. And yes, we're going to review Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Also, I want to let you all know that please hit us up on our Patreon. So on our Patreon, you can get exclusive content from John and I, Movie Lovers Unite. And I want to give you guys this. So it's www.patreon.com/movielovers unite. Check us out. There's many different tiers. You can start off with a $5 tier. Hey, we'll shout you out. Okay. And please let us know any movies that you want us to review. Hit me up at rossitalks@gmail.com or movieloversunite@gmail.com. Also, John and I, we do owe you guys that Twister review. We know there's a new Twister movie coming out. John and I will set a date for that. We will watch that. And I also have some special guests that will be coming to Rossi's Clubhouse, now streaming online, and we will be on all major platforms. A lot of special guests coming to you guys. I really appreciate it. Please leave us a 5-star review when you listen to this, guys. I appreciate you. Tell us what you thought about the show tonight. You will know everything about Mom and Dean. It will be in the description of this video, and we'll have many shorts that we will share with you. So in the meantime, I really appreciate you guys. You guys don't go anywhere. Stay backstage. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And welcome to the new Rossi's Clubhouse, guys. We're out.
Thank you.